As China clamps down, can Hong Kong maintain its allure as an international business destination? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Today marks 25 years since the end of British colonial rule in Hong Kong. Chinese President Xi Jinping led a ceremony there to mark the anniversary. And in a speech, he said true democracy began after the territory was handed back to China.
Since Hong Kong's return to the motherland, Hong Kong compatriots have become masters of their own destiny. The realization of Hong Kong people administering Hong Kong and a high degree of autonomy has marked the beginning of true democracy in Hong Kong.
China has governed Hong Kong under a one-country, two-systems model that is supposed to allow a high degree of autonomy and protect freedom of speech, assembly, and other rights not found in mainland China. But Britain and the U.S. have accused Beijing of failing to live up to those promises, especially after a draconian security law went into force in 2019, which has been used to ban dissent and crush pro-democracy protests. That, combined with a strict zero-COVID strategy, has ground down the economy and forced many international businesses to reconsider their futures in Hong Kong. Primrose Reardon is South China correspondent for the Financial Times based in Hong Kong. She told me how all this could affect the business hub's vibrancy.
As China grew in terms of the size of its economy slowly over the years, Hong Kong has definitely become a place where, you know, international companies and especially international investment banks wanted to expand. Hong Kong obviously has convertible currency. It has a vibrant stock market. We've also seen the rise and expansion of Chinese banks and Chinese investment banks using Hong Kong as a base.
And if we look over the last few years, you know, pro-democracy protests, I'm sure many people will remember in 2019, really brought to the forefront the authority China was trying to wield in Hong Kong. And then, of course, it's still dealing with very strict COVID mitigation measures there. So what is the future looking like for Hong Kong?
It's obviously at a real crossroads in that sense. We've seen a lot more police on the streets on a daily basis. If you go out of the railway station, a lot of young men are pulled aside and asked for their IDs. It's really changed that vibe. The question is, if Hong Kong doesn't have that differentiation that it had from the mainland or from other mainland cities, what does it have that will still attract talent? I mean, obviously, they're not attracting it at the moment because they've got this quarantine. You have to sit in a hotel. At the moment, it's only about a week, but a lot of us have done 3 weeks. It's really a question about whether or not Hong Kong really is still an international city.
And what is the vibe that you're getting from businesses that are there? I mean, if it's that international city that was really the draw, what are they feeling now?
Yeah, so I think there's a really, really big sense of frustration just at the quarantine in particular. The problem is, I guess, is that, you know, which is also to do with the Chinese system, is there's no clear roadmap out of this crisis. There's no clear roadmap out of the pandemic. When you don't have that certainty, it's very difficult for business. So on the one hand, yes, they're keeping their offices here, but more and more they're allowing their staff to work overseas. They're allowing their staff to work in, other regional centres. The influx into Singapore is just growing. International schools are full up of expat children. Hong Kong's reputation as a financial centre has really been hit. And the question is whether or not they can rebuild it.
Primrose Reardon from the Financial Times. Thanks so much for walking us through this.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, bond yields across the eurozone are continuing to fall today as prices rise. That's after fresh data show manufacturing production in the 19-country bloc fell last month for the first time since 2020, while inflation jumped to 8.6%, hitting another record high. Stock markets across the region have eased off their highs of the session. Benchmarks in London, Germany, and Frankfurt are up in the 0.2% to 0.5% range. As the West and its allies turn their backs on Russia for its invasion of Ukraine, Sri Lanka's president is asking Moscow for help. President Gotabaya Rajapaksa has written to Vladimir Putin to discuss options for importing cheap oil from Russia. That's because Sri Lanka is running out as its worst ever economic crisis worsens. The BBC's Regini Vaidyanathan visited a gas station in the capital, Colombo, where long lines have formed, but no one knows when they'll be able to fill up.
This is a scene familiar across Sri Lanka now. There's a long queue of rickshaws, motorbikes and cars, and they're all waiting to see if this petrol station will open. But these pumps are dry. There are signs saying that they don't have fuel here at the moment. You're number one in the queue. How long have you been waiting?
2 days, maybe.
2 days?
Yeah.
I've been sleeping in my taxi. Sometimes I leave to get food, then I come back here and sleep.
With no international shipments due for at least a fortnight, what's left in the country is being rationed. But even before you can get petrol, you need to queue up for days to get a fuel token. With pressure on Sri Lanka's government to secure fuel, it's now reached out to Russia for help. A delegation's due to arrive in Moscow at the weekend to discuss the purchase of cheap oil.
Life very bad. Sri Lankan people life very bad.
As we head back towards the petrol forecourt, we meet Jagannath, who used to work as a driver. He shows us his latest purchase, his first ever bike, which still has the plastic wrapping on it.
Normally, this bike 20,000, this 25,000. Now, no petrol, no diesel, everything. Bicycle very expensive.
The cost of cycles has tripled. Inflation in the country is now at more than 50%. We've just come to the other end of town and we're outside the train station in another part of Colombo, and there's huge crowds of people here. Some are waving black flags. They're protesting. It's been months of protest here in Sri Lanka. And as the crisis worsens, the desperation continues because nobody knows when the end of this will be.
That's the BBC's Rajini Vaidyanathan reporting from Colombo there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.